transportation robbery.
Not Mr. Bentley's doing.
Well, he is.
His concern goes like this, that if we have a 250 million tight ceiling, then the members know that that means many programs are going to get slaughtered. On the other hand, if we have the concept of a spending ceiling and a tight one, and we have a number like 255 million, which I suspect, in looking at the budget, is we're going to do well to get into that.
Yeah.
Then he isn't going to have that fight with the members, and he's going to get his bill through. Now,
the point that I make is that any ceiling, even if it's rubber, is good, because I can use that as an excuse for withholding funds.
Right. You can withhold
my wages. I like an excuse, though. I can say, well, the Congress is the ceiling, and the spirit of it requires. See, that's the line I would
look. I think the President has to stick by his figure, too.
Well, 255.
And the President may, in the end, be willing to compromise.
Well, what we thought we might do in the debt ceiling hearings is to come in and say, the President wants a $250 billion ceiling and a tight ceiling. And consistent with that, here are our estimates of the amount of debt, and we think that we can get through the end of June if we have a 250 ceiling with a $465 million debt ceiling, and we can work that through. And that would then somebody would say, well, suppose you have a higher spending ceiling. And we would have to say, well, the higher the spending ceiling is, the higher the debt ceiling is gonna have to be. It's just arithmetic. But we want 250, but then they will probably mess around with what I think we would come out with is something a little higher. But your position can be continuous on the 200.
Do the best you can, because Arthur, you're in a position, of course, to speak cold turkey to him, saying, look, whether you've got your responsibility. But as I said, you can drop my hand, you know, don't feel that it hurts. You know,
Milton was quite responsive to both the domestic financial markets and the importance of letting domestic financial markets know that the budget is not a runaway budget, that there is at least some lid on it. And second, he's responsive to the argument that international financial markets need this kind of a reassurance. And both of those points were easy
well,
to see.
That gives me an entry wage. We have these meetings in September.
Yeah.
And these meetings will not be to a success unless there is a demonstration.
On our part. Well, come now to that, to whatever other subjects you want, but let's start because I have to decide right now on the meeting. I tentatively, Arthur, told George this morning that that I tentatively would go on a meeting to address the group and to make a talk.
Yeah, I was very
your name was on. They said, you said Arthur, and I said Arthur, and let's work. And now we've got to work the speech off. I guess we'll let her do some things on it, but you see, it's a subject that you well know that I'm no expert on, but I have received them.
They see the notes prepared by the Treasury staff.
Which were prepared, I sent you.
Yeah, I've got those.
Paragraphs, content notes, we went over, Arthur went over those, and they're sort of an agreed set.
But we'll do it. We'll make the talk, and then that gives us a line, and we've got a positive line. In the meantime, as I told George, it's very important for all of us, to the extent we can, except for me, the rest of you, to try to sell it to the responsible writers, the Ed Dales, the Wall Street Journal crowd, and the others, so that they will think that we have a good plan. You know, you're not going to sell them all, because it's an election year. But you sell some. If you think that this is a climate drive, then it is.
And our brother, we
need an improvement.
We have to be very cautious with the plan.
You mean you vote?
We have to stress principles, become a little specific, fairly specific, but not specific to the point where either you personally, or the plan itself, you say, will become the target of serious criticism. And I think we can accomplish that. I'm quite confident.
When I get this draft. Is it no reason for us to do anything now that's a minus?
Well, of course.
I mean, when you recall.
And this is something, Mr. President, that is that we worked out basically between Arthur and I and our respective staff, and after we got it into some shape, we have discussed it in a wider group, including Bill Rogers and Herb Stein, and we've had one full day of discussion here about a week ago, and we've had a number of 2-hour meetings that's been pretty thorough.
Rogers, quite Arthur, as you know, he raised it with me. So he doesn't want us to be specific at all on the ground that it might shape international monetary markets. My feeling is if you don't say something, it'll shape international monetary markets. So anyway, I'm going to go.
Well, I accept this conclusion. I don't want to shape the international.
Sure.
Working my neck off for months and developing it with some success. But I'm pretty confident that we can do this without upsetting markets. On the contrary, it's still more confidence. That's the objective of the game, and I think we can pull it off.
There the other. especially, that could be better. You might even think, why don't you just go down to Mexico City and have a chapter? You go down 3 hours, spend the day, come back.
When?
Anyhow, right now. Paying attention to the Mexicans is terribly important.
No.
You go to Canada, don't you?
I've been there. I was there in May.
Well, Mexico, you see, is so close. I think you treat them a little special and separate than the others. I agree, live up to your four. If you get beyond that, because of little countries, you get mad as hell.
That's a little guy.
See, there's no pain. Don't do anything for children.
Oh, no.
Stay miles away from there.
See, doing it this way, I thought, well, it's easy. I'm just returning their hospitality.
Excellent. Excellent. Could I suggest that when you do have a invite your ambassadors also to your dinner, if you have dinner or lunch?
That's interesting.
See? Their ambassadors, it builds them on so that you have Disneyland, you have adequate, you have financing for that sort of thing. If not,
no,
we were all right. Well, the state can help them
now
if you have the ambassadors.
No, you know, we're all
right. Because that's good foreign policy. Always have the ambassadors argue when you have these people. You know, you'd always do it with the British because he is an expert, but the ambassadors, it just builds them on.
Did you read the report I sent you on Latin America to get to you?
Very.
Was it interesting?
Very interesting, very. And very interesting to our shop, district, our cooperation.
Well, I'm glad I.
Very. You did a lot of work.
Yeah, I hadn't heard from him. Well, I knew how busy you were. My only question
I was
whether you would actually
right.
see it.
Right.
Fine. I had a good trip.
Oh, you had a good trip.
Yeah,
the one thing that I. Of course, which I think really concerns me the most in that area is Argentina. And it concerns you, obviously. There's no reason for Argentina to be in trouble. It's in. The damn country's rich. And their talk is now for when they come back.
Well, you see what I'm saying.
How did they impress you? I mean, not them, but how did they finance? They used to have a very good financial.
They have easy people, but the government has not supported them. They keep on turning over their economic team every 3 months. You take the central bank governor, he's already gone since I've been there.
Yeah.
And you know, it's strange. I heard Don moving from one meeting to another, and I mean, people would introduce me. Here's a former finance minister, former head of the central bank. Dozens of them around. And in talking to, well, you know, I met with economists covering political spectrum. They wanted it that way, and I wanted it that way too.
I noticed.
But one thing they could agree on was that government is not stable.
Oh,
this is hurting everyone.
Criticizing
the government and talk about, you know, torturing prisoners.
Latin way of speech. Latins have been doing this since the beginning of time. Spanish are damn cruel people. Right? You know that.
In the interest of unless common, my magician is rhetoric. I'm thinking about the possibility of you making my move.
parts of God's way, but the most important thing here, Israel is extremely sensitive. They don't want the Russians to sell them down the river, or us to get together with the Russians. So we are Israel's friend. That's why I have to be very careful between now and the election, to be on Israel's side, to get the fight. Because if they don't feel, apart from the votes, if Israel doesn't feel we've got a friend here, they're likely to take the law in their own hands and start kicking the hell out of the Arabs, which they can do, but it'd be a very victory. Quietly.
War. Peace means war. Israel, I think, yes.
Sure. Quietly.
Great. That would be a great
quietly. We are working on that. Rogers is doing an excellent job of it.
Now.
Excellent. Yes, sir. And private channels.
And is he using this tragedy as a new reunion opportunity?
Yes. And it will. But I think we've got to do something after the election. Israel is going to be honored by being an Iron Camp. Those youngsters grow up. Paying all this money out and so forth. And, not so much for sort of other problems in the world.
Yeah. I'm worried, Mr. President, about $10 billion in corporations, an additional $12 billion or so from individuals, and he's able to say that people who earn wages and salaries will not have to pay one additional cent in taxes.
That's for slower by now.
Satisfy sense of equity. I think 10% is damn low.
church.
Well, this is something great happens. We have discussed a great deal. I think that the minimum tax proposal is a much better way, really, of going after the tax shelter type problem than going directly after the individual items, because the individual items are there and they produce
their policy.
They result. So that the minimum tax way of getting out of that is preferable to the way the government has done it. In fact, he has left himself in a position where he is.
You're protecting politically. He's going to argue. He already is. You'll hear a lot more about it. You're protecting the applicant. Well, all right. Now, you're not protecting the applicant. You're protecting America.
That's for sure.
Now, the
also, we get them a hell of a tax reform already.
Sure. So I think one of the things that fascinates
is going to be kicked around, you know?
Well, I just failed to vote out here.
When you came out against us in my direction before you came in today, I said, not that value that is going to be knocked over the park. I can't knock it clear out today. What I did was solve it. I moved off of it.
You moved off of it?
Well, I can't knock it off yet, Arthur. We've got the advisory commission, we've got governors and mayors, and everybody sitting out there working like hell, studying at a cost of $85,000 or something to the federal government. The
president has to take their advice.
Well, the president said he would take their advice.
Well, what do you want to say today?
I said that my understanding was that the ACIR was cool for the value added tax, and that I thought it would be unwise speculation for them to elevate it from the realm of possibility to the realm of probability, that there were that this administration was not committed to it in any way, shape, or form. Now, we can reach
you came out against the tax increase.
Right. I flatly said you were committed to no tax increase.
No tax increase.
Right. Now, they dodged, bob, weaved. They want to talk about tax substitution. Does that mean increase and all this kind of stuff? And I said, all I can tell you is the general policy thrust, which you will see from the Tax Reform Act of 69, the Tax Reform Act last year. I mentioned the fact that in 69 we tried to get a minimum tax, but that the Congress fell far short of what we asked them to do. I said, from that whole course of conduct, the President's tax policy is well known. He has eliminated poor people from the tax rolls. He has reduced lower income brackets. He has increased taxes on corporations. He has strived for greater equity. And I think it's fair to assume that that will continue to be the president's tax policy.
Before we get to the, John, before we get to the, and not too long, but to get this, these people to take a look at it down here, we've got to get off the value alley.
Fine. But between noon and 3 o'clock today, we can't do it. It's got to be done with preparation. You've got to have the ACIR in. You've got to say to them, John, what's your opinion? And they've got to say to you, this thing is full of problems, which they will.
Right.
And then you could then say, I've taken the advice of the ACIR, and I've concluded that it's not a viable alternative.
You see, I agree with you. We can't be for a tax increase in sales, any kind of a sales tax or value added, which, of course, what kind of we were considering. You even thought it. But it's not.
Not doing the motion here.
Right. But I agree. Now that, so let's get off of it. The point is, don't let him have an issue of raising taxes. He's the guy who's got to raise taxes.
Right.
His budget, you see the whole, it's a phony for him to say, but he puts out that silly welfare program. There'll be no increase in taxes. That's providing you don't have a voter program. But other spending programs he's for, that he's approved in his platform, would add a net of $100 billion to spending, which means a 50% tax increase. That's what he was at. Anybody question that?
No.
Right. Now, I'm going to attack. Let me ask this critical question, Arthur. What do you think? Suppose, what figure, what number would you put on it? Now, that's a tax increase for whom? Who's that going to hit?
This minimum tax?
Yes.
I can't give you a number.
But I mean,
the revenue will be very small, but I think it's, you know, there's quite a part of revenue, a sense of justice.
Yeah.
That's what you have to get across.
We estimate that
$600,000.
It would be
picture which you put on your income tax. What produces the $600,000 you talked about, $600,000?
It is by going to the recommendation, the nature of the recommendation that you originally made, which is,
that's our original 1969 form.
We probably produce that, although we think that maybe more that in the last 2 years, the tax shelter industry, as sort of so to speak, has just blossomed, and there's just a tremendous amount of syndication going on, apparently, and these things are just growing.
What's your reaction to our what's your reaction? In fact, that's what I had. Suppose we came out for that. Sure, lots of folks would like it. I have no idea what folks is it going to hit. Is it going to hit people earning $25,000?
I don't think so, but I think this is something that the Treasury wants to get worked
on. What I'm thinking about politically, if it hits people $50,000 and above, the hell will do it.
Well,
that's what I heard
is, but we will
appreciate that. But if it's any people in the 15 to 25, forget it.
Yeah.
Those are our people.
I agree.
And they should be good.
I would watch the 69 proposals had, there were some detailed provisions
you have to work on.
You see, there's a certain beauty about minimum tax. You don't have to talk about depletion allowances. You don't have to talk about any specific tax preferences.
Right.
All that you're saying is we who have these special people, we have our tax laws, and so that some individuals only have to be in the upper income group under a law that the Democratic Congress wanted, we were opposed to, by only 10%. We want to raise that. What thing you want to raise it to, I don't know. I would at least double it myself, or you might want to say 25. Or you don't have to. You don't necessarily have to do a figurehead like that better if you can get by without it.
It's 10 now.
I think that has the substantive advantages that Arthur has mentioned, and it has the political advantage that it reminds people that this is something that you proposed some time ago.
Yeah. Well, I would think the most important thing from a political standpoint, George, is to be able to say that this affects only people who earn so much and above.
And
you see my point? If you can't say that, forget it.
Well,
we don't scare the hell out of our own consumers.
Well, you have to say that, you have to qualify it, because...
Or others that don't.
Those people with an income of above, say, X dollars,
well,
whose income is derived in large part from tax-exempt bonds and other things like that, because you have a lot of wealthy contributors, and they will not be affected by this.
We
don't want to scare the 15,000 plus people.
Well, all right. Why not just say that no tax increase across the board, flat, no tax increase. Start a comparison with a candidate who proposes to increase taxes.
But there is a tax reform. I call this reform.
Well, there's an increase for some people.
I realize that. But you may be put strongly on the defensive, and therefore, rather than wait until late October, you may be driven into this. It might be desirable to come up earlier. This calls
for
a very careful political
approach. Now, let me send you my transcript that just finished, and read it over and then see what you think. We wanted to draw a very stark contrast. He's for tax increases, he necessarily has to have. We are flatly against it. Now, but listen, let me say, John, if you could have a device whereby it was very clear that you were simply hitting people on the higher, much higher brackets, I don't give a damn about the big contributors, do what we've already asked them to do, and if they are not acting upon. But then, rather than save additional revenue, it'll be given over to that goddamn OEO or something else, or community action. Take that and give some relief, start the relief on the property tax thing.
Wow, then you're for no tax increase except.
No, no. We're for tax reform. You see my point?
Yeah, but it seems to me if those are cutting edge, then.
I don't know. I'm just trying to get rid of
you. If you have an increase from the minimum tax and a decrease for older people and the property tax, and you net out to zero, you haven't increased taxes. You've increased some people's taxes, but you have created a wash there.
That's a little different. You know, the yield from this minimum tax position here is small. What can you do with one?
I don't need to do much. I just like to start. It's like you started with pressing
the property tax. The property tax. You have certain commitment there. I think your revenue sharing, you know, goes a good distance in meeting that commitment.
Let me suggest this, Arthur, because I saw George this morning on the international, and we got into this briefly. Let's have another crack at this, and I would like to have, if you would, you, George, John, and I sit down and just look over down the transcript, and let's look at it from a political standpoint. It's a crass political position,
sure.
Fair enough. I just don't know. I don't like the idea. And also, on the political side, ask Tom to send it out to others. Thank you.